This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's me, and it is the Score Evening Show. Rami Makhlouf with you for the next 3 hours live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I got Adam Studzinski on the other side of the glass, and quite the show that Adam and I have lined up for you tonight, including visits from Chris Doering, SEC Network analyst, co-host of SEC This Morning. He'll join us to talk about the Bears' second-round pick coming up at about 7 o'clock, and Megan Montemurro from the Chicago Tribune will be here a little later on in the show as well. She'll join me at 8 o'clock. This first hour of the show, my guest is you, the Score listener, 312-644-6767. Left the whole hour open for you. Cubs are off tonight. Sox are off tonight. The Bulls are obviously done. And the NFL draft just happened this weekend. And I want to talk about it with you at 312-644-6767. Real simple, straightforward question about the Bears draft this weekend. What did you like? What did you not like? 312-644-6767. And even if you didn't like the draft or the way that they went about it, there's got to be some things that you liked about it. And if you really like the draft, well, there's got to be some kind of issue that you take with it. And I want to hear all about that at 312-644-6767. I'll start it off, and I'll start with I'll be honest with you. There's a lot more I liked about the Bears draft than things I did not like about what Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, and the gang did this weekend in the NFL draft. For starters, and I was on the draft coverage for all 3 days, so if you heard me at all during that, you've heard me say this, but the number one thing that I like about this draft is it screams Ben Johnson's draft to me. With Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, and Ozzie Trapillo, all offensive players going with those first three picks, the first-round pick, Colston Loveland out of Michigan, and then you use two of your three second-round picks on offensive players, one another weapon, and one an offensive lineman, a tackle, to maybe shore up that position. And, man, and that's not a knock on Ryan Poles when I say that it's a Ben Johnson draft. I think that's what good GMs do. Good GMs hire good coaches, smart coaches, and then say, what do you need to succeed? And then y'all work hand in hand to try and put together a roster that fits the mold of that coach. And I think with Ben Johnson, that's the coach we all wanted. I was on these airwaves. I was on this very time slot when Ben Johnson was hired just a couple hours before I hit the air. And for the most part, it was almost all positive. That was the guy that the vast majority of us wanted to be the next Bears head coach. And with good reason, with what he did over the last three seasons in Detroit, led the NFL in points under his watch and points per game, finished in the top five in DVOA for the last 2 years. He's earned a little bit of trust, or at least benefit of the doubt, if you wanted him to be the next Bears head coach. And so I'm going to roll with it. I'll be honest with you. Every pick that happened, I wasn't clapping and fist pumping as soon as it happened and totally wrapping my mind around it. Okay. When they made the first round pick of Colston Loveland, I was expecting Tyler Warren. That was the tight end that had gotten most of the hype and the run leading up to the draft. We had heard plenty of reports that tied the Bears to Tyler Warren and said that they liked him a lot and had him high on their draft board, and perhaps that's where they would go with their first round pick. So when it came to number 10 and all three offensive tackles were off the board, and they didn't move up to get Ashton Jeanty, and they were on the clock with number 10, I was expecting the name Tyler Warren to pop up on my screen as I was watching the draft. It wasn't. It was Colston Loveland, and it took me a minute and pretty much live on the air for me to sort of contextualize that and wrap my head around it and try and understand exactly what they were doing with that move. And then the more I thought about it, the more it kind of made sense. He had the Sam Laporta comp. He's more of a separator in terms of his route running than Tyler Warren is as a tight end, somebody who can kind of get himself open, where Tyler Warren was more, I think, scheme reliant or play reliant in terms of drawing up things that would get him open. And Colston Loveland, good with the ball in his hands after the catch. Tyler Warren may be a little bit stronger in that area than Colston Loveland is, but Colston Loveland can do some things with the ball in his hands once he catches it. And all that screams Ben Johnson offense to me. Same thing with Luther Burden, the second round pick, the wide receiver out of Missouri. That screams Ben Johnson pick to me. And I know wide receiver wasn't a position that a lot of us were pegging as a need when the draft started, but you don't really have anything beyond DJ Moore and Rome Odunze with Keenan Allen walking. So it was a need to some extent, and you had no slot receiver. And you look at the role that Amon-Ra St. Brown played for the Lions and Ben Johnson's offense in Detroit as the slot receiver, and that's something that he relies on a lot. And I know one of the knocks was, well, what about Cole Kmet? When are you going to get him and Colston Loveland on the field at the same time? Plenty. Ben Johnson runs two tight end sets more than anybody in this league, something like 34-35% of the time last year. When are you going to get Luther Burden on the field? Plenty. You'll see plenty of three wide receiver sets. One of those guys, if not both of those guys, is going to be on the field on most plays that they run offensively. And I love that Ben Johnson had such an influence on this draft and that Ryan Poles was drafting guys that sort of fit his mold. So as I ask you, what do you like, what do you not like about this Bears draft class? 312-644-6767. First thing I like is it's a Ben Johnson draft. He has his signature written all over this thing, and I like that. I'm going to give the guy a certain level of blind faith, trust, benefit of the doubt that he knows what he wants. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he needs to run the offense that he wants. And you went out there and got it. The other thing I really like, among many things, but another thing I really like about this draft is now you look at this offseason and what the Bears have done this offseason through trades, through free agency, through the draft, and it really kind of, I don't want to say caps off, because there's still offseason to go. There are still potential moves to be made in a second and third wave of free agency. But you really capped off an offseason of sort of taking care of Caleb Williams. It's an offseason that's been all about Caleb Williams, when you think about the three interior offensive linemen, going all the way back to hiring Ben Johnson in the first place. And then you go and get three interior offensive linemen. You get them a wide receiver and a tight end who's basically a wide receiver in the draft. And then with another second round pick, you go and get an offensive tackle in Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College, who potentially is going to be an upgraded offensive tackle. I don't know that he comes in and he's a day one starter. If he is, I don't know if it's at left tackle or if Darnell Wright moves over to left tackle and Ozzie Trapillo is the right tackle. He played both positions during his time at Boston College. So it gives you some flexibility as you try and figure out what to do on the offensive line and how to sort of configure all that. But if he is a starter at left tackle or right tackle, and I know there are people out there, and I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767, who don't feel like the Bears did enough to get an offensive tackle in this draft, whether it was in the first round or earlier, moving up and getting one earlier in the second round. You went and got yourself a guy who potentially now you're going to have five new starters across the offensive line. I don't know what much more you want to do other than that for an offensive line. And I've been as critical as anybody when it comes to Ryan Poles and his construction of offensive lines, his evaluation and construction of offensive lines. But I got to give that guy some credit on this one. And Poles talked after the draft about what this offseason has meant and how they've sort of had Caleb Williams as a focus as they've conducted this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that together. I think anytime you can get the ball in a playmaker's hands quickly and they can make plays after that and your completion percentage goes up, I mean, that's really good for a quarterback's confidence. But a lot of these guys, you can see on our team in terms of the weapons, they can separate. And that's when you see guys open, that's a lot easier than throwing guys open. And as, you know, he goes along, you have to do that as well. But, yeah, all these guys are capable of really producing with the ball in the hand, and also puts a lot of stress on the defense where, you know, we're looking at good looks and that plays right into Ben's hands in terms of how he wants to attack each week.
Ryan Poles and the Bears did a half-assed job and they talked all offseason about it, of creating this nest for Caleb Williams to develop and grow in his rookie year. And they really did a half-assed job of doing that with the offensive line being what it was, keeping around a defensive-minded head coach who was a lame duck, so to speak, in Matt Eberflus, and bringing in an offensive coordinator who had just been fired at his previous stop and didn't really have a lot in terms of creativity or really a plan to get Caleb Williams up and off the ground. They half-assed that thing last year. They talked about it a lot, but they half-assed that thing last year in terms of creating this nest for Caleb Williams to succeed and develop and improve in his rookie year as a Bears quarterback. I don't know how much more you could ask for from a GM and a front office than what they've done this offseason for Caleb Williams. I don't know how much more Caleb Williams could ask for. Like, now the clock starts to tick on him in terms of us having expectations and eventually, I don't want to be too quick about this, but if it doesn't work out, us pointing a finger at that guy in terms of maybe he's the problem and why this thing isn't going. When you have already two wide receivers like DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, you add a Colston Loveland, you add a Luther Burden, you add another offensive lineman to three that you already acquired this offseason, you could potentially have four new starters across your offensive line. And if Darnell Wright moves to the left side, five new starters technically across your offensive line. You can't do much more than that for a quarterback to really create that nest that they talked about so much last year that they're finally doing this year. The execution of it, we'll see. We will see. I heard Olin on with Mully and Haw on their draft special on Saturday morning. Maybe sort of, I don't want to say taking issue with, but pointing out some potential flaws in how they've constructed this offensive line with the three guys that they got, the three veterans that they got this offseason. So the execution of it, we'll see. We'll see what Luther Burden is, and there are concerns about him in terms of his approach to the game. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We'll see if these offensive linemen are or aren't on their last leg in terms of the veterans that they got. We don't know what Ozzie Trapillo is at the next level. So as far as the execution of it, we will see. And if you've heard me at all on The Score, I got my reservations about Ryan Poles and his execution of his plans and his attempts at fixing some things on this team. But as far as the broad overview of what they've done, you can't ask for much more to set up your quarterback for success. 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the show asking, what do you like, not like about the draft class? I'll hit a quick break. I got a couple more likes. I do have one or two things that raised an eyebrow for me in this draft, but I'd like to hear from you. Whole first hour is open. Cubs aren't playing. Sox aren't playing. What better things do you have to do than to talk some draft with me, Rami Makhlouf, right here on The Score? 312-644-6767. What did you like, not like about this Bears draft class? I'll talk about it with you right after this on The Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
As you guys know, I don't really listen much to what people talk, right? I turn their film on and I let their film talk to me, right? I let their film tell me exactly who you are. Like, I get confused sometimes. People say, man, Olin, this guy's a dog. And I turn the film on and I'm watching, I don't see it. right? I see him talking like he is, right? I hear him on microphones, but I don't see it on film. And when I watch Colston Loveland on film, I do see a guy, man, who is a matchup nightmare when you split him out, when he runs his routes, but I don't see him blocking a lot, right? I don't see him doing a lot of the other things that you'd like to see from a tight end. So if you're asking me the kind of football player I want to put into my building, it probably would have been Warren, but you do understand why they took Loveland.
There's Olin Kreutz on the Mullion Haw Draft Special Saturday morning right here on 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf, also part of a lot of that draft coverage over the weekend with you on the evening show up until 9 o'clock. You can get in asking real simple and straightforward. What are your likes, dislikes about the Bears draft over the weekend? 312-644-6767. I reeled off a couple things I liked about this draft before the break. One, you made this all about Ben Johnson, which I'm here for. That's the guy I wanted to be this coach. He's supposed to be an offensive genius. If he pinpoints players that he thinks fit into his offense and are going to help make this thing go great. And the other thing I pointed out before the break that I really like kind of goes hand in hand with that first one. This caps off an offseason that's all about Caleb Williams, from the coach to the offensive lineman that you got in free agency and through trades, two offensive weapons that you get in the first two rounds, plus an offensive lineman that you get with another second round pick. That's investing in your quarterback and really sort of building that nest that they talked about building last year for him to be comfortable in and develop in. If whether or not they got the right guys and the execution of it is going to work out, we'll see. But I like the intention of it, of really, really going all in on making this offseason about the quarterback and Caleb Williams. What have you liked, not liked about this draft class? 312-644-6767. I got some more stuff I want to talk about, some more likes and dislikes I want to point out, but I've been saying you're my guest for this first hour of the show before we talk with Chris Doering of the SEC Network coming up at 7 o'clock. So let me get right out to you guys. Let's get out to Mundelein and Greg. You're on the show. What's up, Greg?
Hey, thanks. What I disliked about this draft is not focusing on getting an offensive lineman early and getting the most quality O-lineman on the board. Mission creep. Our one problem last year was the O-line, and it's so easy to get distracted with wide receivers and other shiny players. It's the same story last year. We talked about, you know, making Caleb the centerpiece of this offense. We talked about last year going in and the offseason, we had Keenan Allen, Odunze, Moore. People were saying this is going to be an unstoppable talent for Caleb Williams to throw to, but he had no time to throw to these guys. And now I'm hearing the same line, minus Keenan Allen, who's a veteran and proven to get space, tight hands to get the ball. And so I don't buy that story, unfortunately, that, you know, we have the wide receivers and tight ends to do it, and it's Caleb-focused, because that's what I heard last year, and I just wanted a singular focus on the offensive line and the draft and the offseason, period. Thanks for listening.
I appreciate the call. I get that, and if Will Campbell or Membu or even a Josh Simmons had slipped to you in the second round, okay, I might take that guy, but three offensive tackles went off the board before you went at 10, and then a couple more went off before you had that second round pick at your disposal. So I think the way that the board fell to them, I don't have a problem with the offensive lineman that they did end up taking, Ozzie Trapillo, and in the second round with their second round pick out of Boston College. According to Dane Brugler and his The Beast draft guide, seventh best offensive lineman in this draft class. I'm okay with that, man. And the difference between this year and last year is you went and got Keenan Allen, you went and drafted Rome Odunze, and you didn't really add quality players to your offensive line. The Bears did a lot of that work through free agency and trades. Now, again, whether or not the execution is right, whether Joe Tooney, you know, is at the end of the line and the Chiefs knew that when they traded him to the Bears, whether they overpaid for Drew Dalman and he's not everything he's cracked up to be, I don't know. That all those things are possible. But they did put resources and put effort into the offensive line that they didn't put last year, including using a second-round pick on a guy who, let's be real, has a much better track record and comes in more proven than what Kieran Amagaje was when he was drafted in the third round last year. People weren't even sure if he was worthy of a third round pick when they took Kieran Amagaje last year. You upgraded at tackle, potentially. And we know that you upgraded at the three interior line positions. And quite honestly, what they did there kind of goes into the next thing that I really like about this draft. As I've been saying, Trapillo maybe starts at left tackle on day one. Maybe he starts at right tackle on day one and they move Darnell Wright over to left. Maybe he's not starting at either position on day one and he's learning, and it's Braxton Jones or Kieran Amagaje there at left tackle in week one. But what you've done there and at other positions with Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet at tight end, by going and getting Luther Burden at wide receiver when you already had DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, you've created some competition on this roster. And the reason I really, really like that is I'm one of the few people who raises an eyebrow or gives you the side eye when you say definitively, and I've heard so many people say definitively, that this roster is good, or this roster is better than it was when Ryan Poles took it over, or this roster is better than it was a year ago going into last year. And I look at that and I go, this is the team that lost 10 games straight, right? And finished the season 5-12. That doesn't scream good roster to me necessarily. Even in places where it looked good on paper, I had to believe there were some guys that either needed to be bumped down the depth chart or needed a little fire lit under them to be the player that the Bears signed them to be. And I think that was legitimately one of the motives in the draft picks that the Bears made, was to create competition all over this roster. And Ben Johnson even talked about that.
We talked about it the moment the players got back into the building. Call it 3 weeks ago now, it was going to be a competitive environment. There is no depth chart right now. If you want to play, you got to go earn it. If you want a role, you got to go earn it. They know that. So we were very straightforward and honest with them when they came into the building. I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials for certain people in the building. So that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That's where you bring out the best, not only in your team, but in each individual. So what I'm going to be curious to see is what guys look like when the ball's not in their hands on offense. Okay? Yeah, you're right. We have a lot of weapons, and so – how are you going to run your route when you might not be number one in the progression? Okay. How are you going to block for your teammate when he has the ball? Because if you do those things right, then as a coaching staff, we're going to want to get you the ball a little bit more. So it all ties together. It all goes hand in hand, and that's the beauty behind it.
Yeah, no depth chart on day one, which makes sense for a team that lost 10 games in a row. Nothing is guaranteed to you when you're part of a team that lost 10 games in a row. Yeah, some guys probably need to be bumped down the depth chart, or some guys at the very least need somebody to light a fire under them to look like that player that the Bears signed them or drafted them or traded for them to be. This team wasn't good enough last year. Flat out, period. And it wasn't just Matt Eberflus. This team wasn't good enough last year. And I think creating some competition on this roster and lighting a fire under some guys might be a good thing. And I think that they had that in mind when they made these draft picks. And the last thing real quick, and then I'm going to get to your calls. The last thing that I really liked about this draft was I think were drafting these guys not just with football in mind and X's and O's. This team needed an attitude adjustment. This team needed a little swagger. This team needed a little bit of nasty, and I think that they got that. They got guys, A, that played at big-time programs in big-time games, that they know the spotlight, and they don't shrink in the spotlight. When you're talking about Colston Loveland, who played at Michigan, Luther Burden in Missouri and playing in the SEC all year, Shamar Turner at Texas A&M, these are big-time programs that played in big-time conferences, and they know the spotlight, and like I said, they don't shrink in it. On top of that, You need a little attitude. You need a little nasty. You need a little fight in you. And I think that they got that specifically with one guy in their third round pick, or excuse me, their second round pick in the defensive tackle, Shamar Turner out of Texas A&M, who talked about the mindset that he brings to the football field. And I absolutely love this.
Two questions for you, if you got the time. One,
yes, sir.
Everybody has said violent, aggressive. What is your mentality when you step between those lines?
Bro, honestly, just to, like, just kill, bro. Literally, just go. Go, bro. That's all I'm thinking about, bro. As soon as I touch the field, all I do is go, man. And I've been having that mentality since a kid, bro. I don't know what it is. But I honestly don't know, bro. It's just a fire inside me, bro. I don't know, kill though, and take their lunch money, because they ain't, offensive lineman really ain't worth nothing, bro. They really can't block me, bro.
That's amazing.
I'm sorry, bro. This is crazy.
Kill them and take their lunch money, because offensive linemen ain't worth nothing. I love that quote right there. That's the type of guy I want in the trenches for my football team. They have not had that kind of attitude and that kind of nasty on this football team for a couple of years. Well, the entirety of the Matt Eberflus era, I didn't really see anybody who brought that type of edge and that type of mentality to the Bears. Now, that can go overboard. There was a moment that went viral shortly after he was drafted, an altercation between Stewart and an offensive lineman from Ole Miss, or excuse me, between Turner. You know, Mark Grody called him Shamar Stewart a couple of times on Saturday, and it got in my head, and now I keep calling him Shamar. It's Shamar Turner had an incident with an Ole Miss offensive lineman last season that earned him a 15-yard penalty via a shot to the junk, and that was the first thing he was asked about by Herb Howard of the Bigs when he met with the Chicago media.
Shamar, first of all, congratulations, man. Welcome to Chicago. As soon as they pick you, we start looking for clips, and one of the other reporters posted a video of Ole Miss, Ole Lyman kind of standing over you. You don't like dudes standing over you with a crotch in your face, huh?
No, sir, man. Hey, you know, take your wins with your losses, man. Was placing my hands instead of putting them on him. He knocked him down. It was a good play on him. Just got to do better on that one, bro. Can't happen no more. It ain't going to happen the next level, bro. We gonna get paid. We're going to get right.
Dan Weider?
Oh, man. Playing with an edge, being an edgy guy, playing with fire like that is always good. But, you know, you got to know how to control it, and you can't let it control you. So I feel like keeping it at a certain level, like right on the line. I can stay right on the line, but just don't cross it. And, man, I have a great career, bro. Great career.
Yeah. It's a line you got to draw. It's a line you got to draw, but you got to have a little crazy to play this sport, and especially to play that position and to go play in and play out and fight in those trenches. I like the attitude, and I like the swagger that they brought to this football team with a few of these draft picks. That's just a few of the things I liked. I got one or two things I disliked as well, and I'm asking you your likes, your dislikes about the Bears draft over the weekend. 312-644-6767. Before I get to my dislikes, let's go out to Lombard. And Kyle, you're on the Score Evening Show. What's up, Kyle?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I want to say something I really liked about this draft is when you think about the second round where we had the three draft picks, we don't get to pull that off unless we make that trade with Carolina. Now, I know we traded our pick and not the Carolina pick, but they were really close to each other. We would have gotten about the same. So we got a wide receiver that was actually ranked higher than the wide receivers the Packers drafted in the first round, and then we were able to sort of wring the sponge out one more time and pick up an O-line and D-line guys to add some depth there as well. So we went tight end, wide receiver, O-line, D-line. So we went in different departments, and we were able to put a fire in and put some pressure on guys that are playing in the O-line, guys playing at D-line, wide receiver room. Ideally, what we got now is an X, Y, and Z receiver that are all going to be blue-chip players and then two blue-chip tight ends. So I do believe that, like you said, this is a Ben Johnson draft, and I do believe Ryan set this team up for success now.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, they created competition all over the field, at a bunch of different position groups, depth and competition at a bunch of different position groups, and I think got starting quality players at two, if not three, of the positions that they drafted. I think Colston Loveland is going to play starter-like snaps. I think Luther Burden is going to play starter-like snaps, and we'll see what Ozzie Trapillo, where he lands and if he's starting. I think he could be the left tackle day one. I think he could be the right tackle day one and bumping Darnell Wright out to the left. But I think you got at least two, maybe three guys that are going to play starter-like snaps and hopefully have an impact for you week one, day one. And in Shamar Turner, I think you got a guy who maybe not starter snaps, but is immediately going to be involved in the rotation at defensive tackle. So you got four guys that are going to come in and contribute in some form or fashion, it looks like, and create competition at their respective positions. I love that, man. I really, really do. And I love that Ryan Poles sort of leaned on his head coach to make some of these picks. And yet, Luther Burden, that might have been the most best player available pick of the entire Bears draft, because that's a guy that was had a first round grade in a lot of the different mock drafts and evaluations that I saw leading up to the draft. And Dane Brugler, who I put as much stock in as anybody with his The Beast draft guide that he puts out every year, great resource if you want to get ready for the draft year in and year out. He had him as the third best wide receiver in this entire draft. And that's a guy who's going to do some things when he gets out there on the football field. There are concerns. Takes plays off. Body language not the same when the ball is coming to him as when it's not. That's something that you're gonna have to coach out of that kid, and they're gonna hand him over to Antoine Randall and have him mold this kid into an NFL wide receiver who doesn't do that kind of stuff, or at least doesn't do it as frequently as maybe he did it in Missouri. I mean, Randy Moss had the rap that he took plays off. Give me Randy Moss 99 times out of 100. And he's going to go up there and get that football. I'm not saying he's Randy Moss. I'm just saying that's a rap that's been laid on plenty of guys, and it's not a deal breaker or a nail in their coffin necessarily of a successful NFL career. They got a first round quality player in Luther Burden III. As far as a football player, you got to make sure that the head is on straight from what I'm hearing and what I understand when he's out there. But as far as the talent and the football player, that you got a first round quality player at pick number 39. And I really did like that trade. I did. To get that extra second round pick, even though you had to trade out of the third to do it, you got the fourth round pick back that you didn't have because of the trade with the Panthers. So I really, really like that trade to get the extra second round pick and turning that into Ozzie Trapillo and Shamar Turner at offensive and defensive tackle respectively. Got another segment to take your calls before I'll talk about Luther Burden III with our guest coming up at 7 o'clock, Chris Doering of the SEC Network. He'll join me at 7 to talk again, like I said, about Luther Burden and what the Bears did in this draft. But I want to know your likes, your dislikes of this Bears draft thus far. 312-644-6767. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show, and I'm back right after this.
Yeah, I've always felt that. I mean, every draft has like this pockets that you just don't fall into. And again, if you're going to be disciplined and you're going to let the board kind of dictate how you do things, it just happens that way. So because of that, you end up in some really cool situations and really acquiring talented players. It might come from a different position that maybe you would have liked to. But at the end of the day, you're increasing the talent on your football team. And I do think you can get into a lot of trouble if you start trying to manipulate things to get into certain pockets where you end up hurting your team long term.
There's Ryan Poles, Bears general manager, talking about why they didn't get a running back higher up earlier in the draft than what they did. They did end up getting Kyle Monange out of Rutgers, their running back, in round number 7 with their final pick. Asking you, what were your likes, dislikes about this Bears draft over the weekend? 312-644-6767. If you want to get in before I talk about Luther Burden III, the Bears' second-round pick, with Chris Doering of the SEC Network. He's coming up at 7 o'clock. If there's one thing I didn't love about this draft that I guess I kind of had my heart set on that they didn't do was go and get a running back, man. Go and get a running back who can either be your RB1 and sort of unseat DeAndre Swift, push him down the depth chart, or at the very least, somebody who could share that load with him and be a complement to him there in the backfield, like we see with, you know, in Detroit, where Ben Johnson just came from with David Montgomery and I'm drawing a total blank on the running back there in Detroit. Forget it. Anyways, you guys know who I'm talking. Jahmyr Gibbs. There it is. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. I wanted to at least get somebody who could compliment DeAndre Swift in that manner, but they didn't. And you heard Ryan Poles talking about why they didn't. And it makes sense. It's kind of the same thing that I was saying about the offensive tackle position and not going a little higher there, investing a little bit more there. It's kind of the way the board fell to him. Three tackles going off the board before they get there at 10, couple more coming off the board before their second round picks come up. So you don't want to reach, you don't want to reach too much to try and get that running back, but we heard so much that this was the deepest running back class that we've seen in a long, long time. And to not capitalize on that, to not find a way to go and get somebody. I was all in on moving up to get Ashton Jeanty in the first round. I might have been okay with moving up in the second round to get one of those Ohio State running backs that went off the board right before the Bears with Quinshon Judkins and then Travion Henderson going at 38 right before their pick at 39. I might have been okay, depending on the price, to move up in the second round and get one of those two guys if you thought he was that kind of player, but they didn't, and I would have liked to have seen them address that running back position a little bit sooner, invest a little bit more in it, because I'm just not the biggest DeAndre Swift guy. We will maybe talk a little later in the show now about what are some of the other Bears options to sort of address that running back position and get DeAndre Swift some help back there. But want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Let me go out to Southwest Michigan, and Dale, you're on the Score Evening Show. What's up, Dale?
Thank you for taking my call. And
my pleasure.
I used to play football, and one of the biggest things what turned around a team is when the coach got us all very competitive, where we wanted just to smash the other guy's face in and stuff. And I can see that here. You don't have any big names, but that's great, because it's when everyone starts working together to build a team, that's when miracles happen. I mean, to me, that's what the Super Bowl was all about when the Bears won the last time. They got guys that no one knew until that year. And we're going to do the same thing this year. Are we going to win the Super Bowl? Don't know. But you know what? I like the direction we're going in. Thank you for letting me talk.
I appreciate the call. I wouldn't even say the direction that they're going in, because I'm holding out hope that this thing, that they are finally getting it right and it does start to move in the right direction. But I'm beaten up as a Bears fan. I think we all are. And I'm at the point where I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it. As much as I wanted Ben Johnson, first time head coach, we'll see if he's all he's cracked up to be. Ryan Poles, we'll see if he's learned from the mistakes of his first 3 years as a general manager of this football team. We'll see. I've let myself get too excited, let my hopes get up too high too many times, whether it was for a new GM or a new coach or a new quarterback, whatever the case might be, a big free agent, whether it was Khalil Mack or Julius Peppers or somebody else. I let my hopes get too high too many times for me to fall for this again and really be convinced that it's actually moving in the right direction. What I do like is that there seems to be a plan in place. There seems to be some cohesiveness and people on the same page throughout all levels of this organization. And in terms of the coach, at least we hope, you got some competence and maybe even a little bit of genius there. And we haven't seen offensive genius on the Bears sideline, well, ever. We've never ever seen that. So I like the, I can't say direction that they're moving in. I like the foundation that's being laid. I like the cohesiveness. I like that there seems to be a plan in place, and especially there seems to be a plan in place and an emphasis on the quarterback and developing the quarterback and doing everything you can, surrounding him with everything you can to sort of give him the best chance at developing and succeeding at the hardest position to play in all of sports. What do you likes, dislikes about this Bears draft? 312-644-6767. Like I said, I'm not thrilled that they didn't address the running back position sooner and more sufficiently in the draft. Now you kind of got to start looking ahead to free agency and who might be out there. And one guy that is out there that's intriguing to me is Nick Chubb, formerly of the Browns. He's obviously had his share of injuries, and it was a name that I brought up with Anthony Herron, and a few callers and texters had brought up with Anthony Herron when I was doing the draft show with him on Saturday, and Ant was intrigued by the idea of a Nick Chubb coming in. For starters, beyond just the football, you listen to how teammates talk about Nick Chubb, and again, it's more of what I talked about earlier of really improving the makeup of this team mentally. The mindset of this football team, the leadership, the culture of this football team. I think Nick Chubb goes a long way in fixing that, along with Grady Jarrett and some of the other veterans that they brought in this year. But I think there's still some good football left in that dude. And if you believe, well, some rumors that are floating around out there, Nick Chubb maybe, just maybe, about to land somewhere in the NFC North, according to this was Ken Carman on 92.3 The Fan out in Cleveland.
Are we ready to say goodbye to Nick Chubb? A silence came over the room. Are we ready? I'll ask it again.
It seems
are we
like,
ready to say goodbye to Nick Chubb?
It seems like it's over.
I got to tell you guys, maybe I shouldn't say it because it's going to kind of cast a pall over the room. I heard he is kind of getting close to another team. Happens to be in the NFC North.
You want to clarify that?
No. Not any further. All great things got to come to an end. And
why do you think it had to come to an end in this situation, especially this year?
I hope he comes back. I really do hope, but it's looking more and more unlikely that both sides are kind of ready to move on, it seems to me.
So Ken Carman saying he's close to a deal with an NFC North team, and let me play detective for a second. The Vikings don't really need a running back. They brought back Aaron Jones. I mean, you're going to need somebody to share the load with him. He's getting up there in years himself. But if you're looking for a compliment to Aaron Jones, do you want to bring in Nick Chubb, who comes in on the older side of things for a running back and with an injury history? The Packers have Josh Jacobs. They're not looking for a running back. The Lions got two good ones in Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. If he's close to agreeing to a deal with a team in the NFC North, all signs seem to point to the Chicago Bears. Should that happen tonight, I will let you know about it as soon as it does happen right here on the Score Evening Show. Rami Makhlouf with you until 9 o'clock. We got to get to a quick break, and on the other side, we'll talk about Bears' second round pick, Luther Burden III out of Missouri, with a former Gator wide receiver, NFL vet, now analyst for ESPN and the SEC Network. Chris Doering is going to join Rami Makhlouf. That's me right here on the Score Evening Show right after this.